Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Father, we thank you, we give you praise. Lord, let no flesh glory in your presence. Take control, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Now, somebody like me, I like to speak for several hours, like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours. But today, I'm not going to speak for a lot. So, what I want to do is to just share some thoughts with us. Just some thoughts with us for us to think about. And also I believe that those things will help us in our lives. But I want to start from this scripture. Everything has been together and I thank God that I'm in line. I want to speak on what I've just called stronger together. Stronger together. I will read Hebrews chapter 10. I'll read a few of scriptures and then I will share some thoughts with us. Now the issue with me is if I read too many scriptures and I will want to analyze all of the scriptures, then we're going to sleep in church. So Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. I'll just read two scriptures for just as a foundation and then I will share some thoughts with us. And then we'll go back to some other scriptures. And let us consider one another in others to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some people, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Psalm 133 verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I want you to follow me as I share some thoughts with us. One of the major problems of our time is individualism. You need to follow me, okay? It's one of the major problems of our time. And when I say our time, I'm talking about this dispensation. I'm talking about the problem, not of Lagos, not the problem of Nigeria, but the problem of our time. Is individualism. We have gone through a lot. I don't want to start talking about it, you know, many things, but we've been through a lot. A lot of things have happened. And in the world today, if you're sensitive, we are at a time of individualism. And of course, with individualism, it's what is called post-truth. I know some of us have heard that before. Post-truth. Now, you might know, maybe you see, these are the things that are under guard and control most of the things that happens in the world today. Individualism. People want to live for themselves. I can do all things, but the part B of it is non-existent. I can be whoever I want to be. We focus a lot even on anthropology and humanism. Man is so powerful. We can do anything. If you conceive it, it can happen. Anybody can turn the world around. Whatever you want to achieve, whatever you want to do, you can do it. You can do it. You can make it happen. You can sort things out. You can live your life. And we live in a world where individualism has crept in, disguised as the truth, disguised as freedom, disguised as the ability to express ourselves. But the danger is that it's causing us to express ourselves without God. And it's the problem of the world, not just the church, but the tragedy is that the same problem is in the church. Individualism. I can do. I do whatever I like. I say whatever I want to be. Now, in case you don't understand, that's why we have issues with sexuality. We have issues with sexuality because somebody can wake up and say, it's my life. I am not a woman. I'm a man. And some of you are beginning to look at me somewhere now because he came from wherever I came from. That's why he's saying this. No, I come to this country a lot and I know what I'm talking about. The problem is a world problem. People can be whatever they like. They want to be whoever they like. They do whatever they want to do. People come to church now. They just still do whatever they like to do. Individualism. We have so much raised the independence of human beings that we have eliminated the need for God. And so even within the framework of the church, people come to church, but they live their lives for themselves. They come to church and follow the religiosity. They come to church and do whatever they want to do, but they live their life for themselves. We are individuals. It's a problem, and that's a major one in the entire world. People just want to be whoever they want to be. This has led to serious moral decadence. It's my body. I do whatever I want to do with it. No moral restraint. We've thrown away every moral framework. I can talk the way I like. I can dress the way I like. I can do the things I want to do. I can run my ministry the way I want to run it. Anything, whatever it's important to God, it's not really important to us. We disguise and we say it's the truth. And we call it liberty. Let me tell you something. It is impossible for you to experience liberty without being yoked. Because any liberty that is not yoked is looseness, not liberty. Because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. You got to understand this. Take my yoke upon you. There is no freedom in God except freedom from Satan to serve God. When you are cut off from Satan, you are yoked to God. Listen to this. There's nothing that is called liberty without a yoke. So individualism is a major problem. We have become the government of our own lives. Everything is run by our systems. We are so intelligent. We are so smart. Let me just say something here that is funny. You know, sometimes when we think we're so intelligent, we're so smart, I pity Christians because I'm thinking you are depending on yourself, but it won't work because unbelievers will be better than you. What system? I was talking to someone that said the biggest church in the world is not even near Microsoft. Microsoft is too far. The biggest church in Nigeria does not have any system that is near Dangote. So why are we running after the things that unbelievers are doing? There is no separation between us. Anything you do as a Christian, come on, listen to this now, that can be replicated without the Spirit of God is not an indication of spirituality. I repeat. Anything you do as a Christian that can be replicated without the Spirit of God, it's not an indication of spirituality. I don't care how many cars you drive. It doesn't make you spiritual because unbelievers drive better cars. I've told you that it's a risk. But I'll reduce the risk. The arrogance of self-sufficiency is an insult on the plan and purpose of God. The arrogance of self-sufficiency,
Because any man who says, I am self-made, it's a gross idiot. Because logically speaking, it is actually not possible. So even common sense tells us, not spirituality, that you can't be self-made. But it's arrogance. I don't want to talk about that. You know, when people make it and there's no God in it, they neglect God. Let me show you this. God has the capacity to bless unbelievers. And whether you like it or not, God blesses unbelievers. And that's why we get into confusion in the church. Because now we want to prove that we are better. And God always proves to us that it doesn't matter to him. The reason why God can bless an unbeliever more than a Christian, I want to tell you, because it is not important in his eyes. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? In other words, any idiot can gain the whole world. It really doesn't have any weight. So if you're waiting that a Christian has to be the richest man in the world, it's a lie. That's not our purpose. I was talking to somebody. Listen to this. I'm not a poor person. Don't get it wrong. No, you need to manage this. I'm going somewhere. I want you to understand the things that are important to God. We shouldn't be arrogant. And we are not getting away with it. We're not getting away with it. It is impossible to get away with neglecting God. We're not getting away with it. We're not getting away with it. And that's why now it doesn't, we're not getting away with it. And that's why the testimony of Christians has gone on the floor. We're not getting away with it. Because we do not have things that unbelievers can look at and say we're different. We're not getting away with it. Because now unbelievers, they know that we're not different and we're all the same. We're not getting away with it. Because as long as we're doing the stuff that they do exactly the way they do it, and we think the way they think, and the things that matter to them. Listen to this. The things that matter to us, line it up. And you will discover that it's exactly the things that matter to the unbeliever in your office. It's an indictment on the grace of God. We're not different. We're not different. We run after everything. We want to have the best cars. We want to have the best system. We want to have everything. Listen to this. You need to always ask yourself, what is the difference? I'm not talking about the arrogance of thinking we're superior than other people. That's not what we're talking about. I'm not trying to say that because we're born again, other people are useless. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying there's something that makes us Christians. There are things that are important to God. The Bible says we should not set our heart on things that are beneath, but on things that are above. You got to ask yourself, what are the things that are beneath? And if you ask yourself that question, we discover that oftentimes 99% of the things that we genuinely look for, they are the things that are on the earth. And let me say this. You say, but that's not what I do. No, listen to this. It's not what you say. That's not what we say. No, it's not what we say that matters. It's what we do. I was speaking to somebody, man of God, and said, the person said, no, I'm not materialistic. I said, fine. He's a pastor. I said, that's great. I said, let me come to your church and line up all your leaders and the people that go on your altar. If they're not the richest people in your church, I know you're not materialistic. Sir, 90% of churches will fail that test. We cannot survive without God. And it's a lie that we can survive on our own. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone. When he falls, he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let me share another thought with us. In this world, we are so connected, but we are extremely lonely. We're so connected, but we're completely way so disconnected. It's an irony because when you think about the advancement of global connectivity, when you think about the fact that, you know, it used to be that if you have a family in the U.S. or United Kingdom, you have to send a letter and then it will take, you know, 2 weeks before they get it and then before they reply you. So one single communication would take 4 weeks minimum to and then back. But now you can quickly get out of church and do a video call and speak to anybody anywhere in the world. We are very, very connected. But we're increasingly a lonely generation. We pretend on social media. We display a lie. We are pulled into the deception of virtual friendship. And we all fight over friends that really don't exist. For the gladness of many people is based on the people who followed them on Instagram. Lying devil. And your peace of mind and self-esteem rides on how many people like your post. And it's become so evil that even an average person has been drawn into it. I'm talking to you young people. Your life does not depend on people who follow you. Can I tell you something? I have a friend who does a lot of work in the Middle East. He does not even have a Facebook account. You know why? Because if he does, they will kill him. Because they will know who he was. He doesn't have time for all those things you do. He goes to churches. He has underground ministry. He showed me one video of thousands of people in United Arab. Listen, I'm serious. In the Middle East. Doing great work for God. But he's not on Facebook. Because he's on Facebook, then they're going to know that that's what he's doing. He's gone. What I'm trying to tell you is this. There are so many people doing so many wonderful things that you don't know about. Why are you so desperate that people can see that you bought a new shirt? It's lack of self-esteem. Why are you so desperate for people to know the kind of car you drive and the kind of shirt you wear? We don't care about Gucci. We don't care about all of those Louis Vuitton. Because listen to this, I'll probably just put my name on it. It's lack of self-esteem. Why do I need somebody to know what? Listen to this. This is a world where people are being drawn into losing what really matters. We are like zombies dancing to the tune of people in Hollywood. We are like zombies following the agenda of the underworld. We are like zombies being trapped by people who have intelligence, who sit down and they frame our life and we bow to it without even knowing it. I don't want to start talking about Disney. I don't want to start talking about Hollywood. I don't want to start talking about all of those things because you're going to get angry. But let me tell you something. There is a system that is against God. And there's a system that is against God that is the agenda is to draw Christians unknowingly. I had a revelation, man of God, about 12 years ago. 12 years ago, I had a revelation. And in that revelation, God showed me a man. That man was a nice man. And then he became so popular and young people started following him. And in that revelation, young people were moving out of the church en masse to follow this guy because he was a genuine superstar. Now listen to this. And I started praying. I told people, a time is coming when young people in the church, the things in the church will not be trendy enough for them. It should not be fashionable enough for them because there is a lie outside. It is not because the church is not good enough. It is because there is a devil outside there that is drawing them. Now listen carefully to this. We need to be careful. The things that matter to us must change. We're promoting loneliness with an alarming rate. We promote it. Because now people don't need to see face to face. They don't need to see face to face. They don't need to. Random people who don't know you like you on Facebook, you are excited. I just think that's all they get it. Well, sometimes I think something is beginning to even run with our sense of judgment. You don't even know them. People buy Facebook followers. Random accounts. That they don't even know. And those people like them and they get excited. Nobody, you don't know them. There's nothing wrong with it as long as it doesn't make you increase in your self-esteem or decrease. It creates a sense of value for you. You suddenly feel cool. And people commit suicide because they don't have likes on Facebook. I'm not talking about social media, but let me just tell you that social media has now become one of the major risks of mental health problems in the world. And in fact, in case you don't know, it's one of the key ones in this country, Nigeria. I don't know. Listen to this. I speak to a lot of people, sir. They say, no, it's poverty. Our parents have been poor before. Oh my God. They say, no. No. It's knowledge. It's knowledge transferred by social media. It's comparison. That's what it is. Social media is one of the major risks. How most people lose self-harm in this country. You know what self-harm is? Maybe we'll do a mental health awareness one day. Now, people who self-harm in this country, people who do all of those things, especially young people, where do you think they learned it from? Social media. People in this country, people everywhere, young people who are anorexic, who don't like to eat food, they want to become size zero and go to size minus two. Now, where did they get it from? Social media. Your mama is fat. Your auntie is fat. Why are you trying to follow somebody on social media who is thin that you don't even know? Why? Young people, listen to me. Look at somebody, tell the person, you're beautiful like this. You're going to get angry now. You're going to get angry now. You know, almost all those people you follow and you want to be like them, they are messed up. They are messed up. Almost all of them are depressed. Almost all of them have bipolar disorder. Almost all of them are schizophrenic. Almost all of them. I mean, almost all of them. Almost all the superstars you follow. Even in this country, I was talking to a psychiatrist yesterday, that if you come to Yaba, this Yaba here, that you surprise you how many popular comedians and Nigerian musicians and young people follow that queue up because they've taken drugs. They need to be readjusted. You follow people who are messed up, people who don't know what they're doing. I was telling Pastor today, I work with figures and facts. I'm a realist. Do you understand? Why deceive ourselves? These things are plain. Let me tell you something. The grace to be relevant, the grace to be accepted, to be wealthier than people, to be the most popular person, to have the biggest organization, the fattest salary, the biggest car, all of those things are beautiful, but they will not immune you from the challenges of this world. And they will not immune you from mental health challenges. They will not immune you. And mental health problem has become the bane of our society. Serious one. 2016 World Health Organization statistics, Nigeria now has greater than 15 over 100,000 suicides. And that's one of the highest in the world. And that is also because we do not have a good record system. If we have a record system, they will create another category for us. It's that bad. And then and then people still think that the best thing to talk about is money and materialism. That's why people kill themselves. Because they don't have it. And so they're not going to have it. Because Jesus said the poor will always be amongst us. We need to learn how to make the poor feel good. And I'm not saying I like poverty. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to say, let people know the essence of life. That it's not what you have. The life of a man does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And we cannot go against the scripture and not pay for it. Because you will hear all the messages in the world. If you don't hear the truth, you will face the challenges of life. And if you're not immune, you're not immune by the word of God, you don't have resilience, you are going to bow to the lie of Satan. Because you need to understand the essence of life.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,